Today's message is called Right or Wrong? Question mark. Right or wrong? So it's a question because it's got a question mark. Amen. And even if it wasn't a question, it is now because it has a question mark. Amen. Praise the Lord. So right or wrong, we're going to be talking about right and wrong today. Glory to God. Some things that the Lord has in my heart. You know, when I started getting into last night's message, this was one of those weekends where I worked on two messages simultaneously. I had two messages going on. And so when I got into the pulpit yesterday, I was thinking of Sunday's message, but I was trying to preach Saturday's message, amen. And it's funny because even if I have a conversation with somebody in the week, I often will forget what I preached where and what I preached at all, praise the Lord. Sometimes, you know, I remember the principles of what God's dealing with me on, of course, and stuff like that, but praise God. But you better not forget, amen. You need to, because that's how it works. It's an interesting thing when you prepare three messages a week. You know, I remember I was sitting with some pastors one day and they're like, they said to me, they're like, we were talking about how long we preach for. And I said, one person was like, I preach for about 15 minutes. And another one was, I preach for about 20 minutes. And my eyes are getting bigger as they're talking. You know, I'm just like, I can't imagine that. Well, I preach about an hour. They're like, an hour? I'm like, yeah, I preach about an hour, and I got three services a week. Three services a week? You spend all the time just doing it. And the truth is I don't. I just spend time with the Holy Ghost. Say, man, I try to do my best to stay before the Lord, and he helps. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it's a sign. And I also told him, I was like, I never preach the same message twice. Even if I preach the same message twice, it's different. So praise God. Hallelujah for that. Amen. But before I get started, I had something for the husbands and wives this morning. It's a little gift. No, it's not really a gift, but it's just something I'm going to share with you. It was on my heart. I was hearing this in my spirit as I was praying this morning, and I was just laying there praying, and I heard this in my spirit, and so I thought it would be helpful. Amen. So this is for the husbands and wives, and more in particular, what I'm going to say applies to husbands and wives for both of you. Are sitting in the church, although that you can take principles out of it, but you have to understand that if you don't have a spouse that's in the church, they might not necessarily agree to all of what I'm going to say, and so you have to just do your part, maybe a little extra, amen. But husbands and wives, it's not hard to get into agreement when you realize the importance of the other person in your life. Okay. So if you're a husband and a wife in here today, or if you're just a husband in here, or if you're just a wife in here, you know, this is still good, and you still need to understand this. But it's not hard to get into agreement when you realize the importance of the other person in your life. You know, there's lots of things that will come against us, lots of things that will cause us to get into disagreement. But we have to remember as husbands and wives that our most important place is to be in agreement. Amen? Especially as Christians, our most important thing we can do is to be in agreement. There's power in numbers, amen? And, the second part came to me, lay it all down and make it simple. You know, when stuff is in chaos and when stuff is in upheaval and when things are coming against you to try to wreck your relationship, lay all the stuff down and you just make it simple. Don't make it hard. It's not complicated. What's the simple? The simple is that person that you're looking at or mad at or angry or whatever, that person is the most important person in your life. They're more important than your kids. It's the truth. They're more important than your kids. They're more important than your neighbors and your family. They're more important than anything else because God has connected you with them. Amen? And so they're the most important person. So other than God, your spouse is the most important person in your life. It's not hard when you realize that. And so if you're at a place where you just can't seem to get an agreement on something, both of you need to just think, this person is the most important person in my life. I'm just going to make it simple. We're going to lay it down. Amen. Because if there's chaos at home, if there's chaos in the marriage, there won't be, you know, the Bible says it hinders our prayers. And so we need to do whatever we can do to get back on page, on the right page. Amen. And so commercial over, that was free, no charge. Hallelujah. Take that home with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. So today's message, right or wrong, we're going to be talking about. Really, what we're going to be talking about today is, you know, there's a lot of opinions out there, a lot of ideas about things, and of course we have the truth of God, but you know the biggest truth that we find is in the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit will always lead us in line with the Word and what the Word truly says, and He always balances things out. But this, you know, is some stuff that has just been burning in my heart. You know, so often we get distracted by what's going on around us. We get distracted by what people say. We get distracted by what people are doing. But the thing is, and we'll have differences of opinions on things, even within the church. And the reason is, and I found this to be true, because even I have pastor friends that are very spiritual, that I trust, that I counsel with. In other words, not that I sit at their, you know, they're, you know, I'm sitting in a recliner and they're talking to me like that kind of counseling, but like that we'll run things by each other and that we'll talk about the things of God. We'll talk about situations that arise in the church and, you know, what would you do and what would you do and stuff like that. And so, you know, the Bible says that there's good, there's blessing in the multitude of godly counselors. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so but one of the things I know is that there's often a lot of differences. There's a lot of differences in how we would operate on something. And what we have to understand is this, is that God is not divided, that God is not one way one time and one way or another time. There are basic principles and basic ideals of what describe or what embody who our Lord is. Amen. There's basic ideas about who he is and what he believes. But, you know, there's operations and how to get there that are different. And we see this very clearly in the ministry of Jesus. As he walked this earth, you know, he didn't deal with each situation the same. He dealt with each situation the way that it needed to be dealt with. And the Bible says that he had the Spirit without measure. Amen. And so we understand that about him, that he had the Holy Spirit without measure. And so he followed the Holy Spirit. In fact, you know, I preached on that recently. He, you know, how the Lord would go to the mountain or he'd go to the solitary place early in the morning by himself, and he'd get before the Lord and get his direction, and then he'd know what to do. Amen. And so we have to understand that in our lives, in the things that go around us, and there are basic rights and wrongs, that is true. But how we go about doing things and the things that we embrace, I know churches that during this pandemic, you know, there was churches that closed down. At first, they closed down completely. You know, and then there's churches that, didn't close down completely and took different steps. And, you know, on both sides, one of the things that we notice is that you have Christians saying, well, you shouldn't be doing that. The Bible says this. And then you have Christians saying, well, you shouldn't do that because the Bible says this. And see, what that is just division. That's division getting in. And the Holy Spirit never leads by division. He always leads in unity. And perhaps that's part of why, the Lord dealt with me about the stuff for husbands and wives this morning. But God always leads in unity. Amen. And that doesn't mean that what God is showing you has to be the same as what God shows somebody else. Now, the principles are not going to be sinful in nature, of course. But we will find the principles of what God does. We always will find the principles. I believe this with all my heart. We'll find the principles of what God does. We'll always find them in Scripture. There will always be an example. Somebody's excited this morning. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. See, it rubbed off on you and just got off on the kids. But glory to God. But, it's, praise the Lord, it's good. That's just part of church, man. We're a family, glory to God. And I there's some churches that get all worked up about noises and little things like that. We just work with it, amen? Because that's just part of the way it goes. So there's no condemnation there, praise God. Hallelujah. Actually, I think it's kind of cute, personally, but that's just me. Amen, glory to God. But, praise the Lord, anyways. God wants us to be in unity and unity of the faith. And really what is the Bible talks about unity of the faith. And really what does it mean by unity of the faith? It means that we both can have unity in our faith. That we can, that we're, you know, actually in it was in Ephesians. Let's just go ahead and turn there. I wasn't planning on it. I hope I have time to get the rest of my message, but we'll go to Ephesians 4. I think that's where it's located. Yes, it is. Ephesians 4:13. Praise the Lord. This, of course, is about the ministry offices and how they affect the body. And it says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, as I was actually with a pastor friend of mine this week, and we were talking about some things, and he was talking about dealing with some situations where people were kind of bent about things that were going on and what they were doing and stuff like that. And he said, this is how he counseled the person. He said, do you suppose the Holy Spirit is telling you that? Do you suppose that the Holy Spirit is making you angry or giving you the direction to reject or to resist or to rebel or whatever? And, you know, it was a good question because the truth of the matter was it wasn't. God has called us to unity, and he wants us in a unity of faith. We have to understand that God is not going to do things the same way in all of us. Now, again, we can't use this as an excuse to act wrong. We can't use this as an excuse. Well, God just lead me to not go to church. No, he's not. He never has. Praise the Lord. Unless you're sick, then he probably will. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, there's, you know, but the truth is he's not leading you to forsake the assembling of together, the brethren. Amen. And of course, we're all learning this as we go. We're all learning more as we go. Praise God. But I want to start the message off with this scripture. Well, I started off with the scripture, but my other message, I want to start off with this scripture. So praise God. 1 Peter 4:11. We're just going to pull it up. This is 1 Peter 4:11. This is one of the most important, this is a real important aspect of what I'm saying here today. It says that if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And the word oracles literally means it's like utterances of God. They let them speak by, you know, by the direction of the Lord. The utterance that God gives them, amen. We often talk about, you know, when I preach, you know, I step into the pulpit and then all of a sudden utterance will come. And the reason I share things like that when I say these aren't in my notes, I'm not trying to impress you. I'm not trying to sit here and say, oh, look at me, I don't even have notes and this is how I can preach. Nothing like that whatsoever. What I'm trying to express to you is the fact that when we trust God, as we step into those places we need to be, that God gives us the things we need to say when we yield to him, amen? And so that's what it's saying here. It says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God, with the utterances of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Christ, Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. And so one of the things that we find, and this doesn't just apply to ministers, but this applies to Christians in general. One of the things that I've seen very, very commonly in our faith, in Christianity, is that there's a lot of people speaking, but it's often not with the utterances of God. It's often not by the direction of the Lord. They say what they want to say because they feel that way. They say what they want to say because they're stirred that way. They're bent that way. We all have a bent, don't we? We all have a certain bend one way or the other, but our job is not to recognize our bents. Our job is to because we all have justifiable reasons for believing the way we do. If we've thought about it for 15 minutes, we probably can justify just about anything we do. And so we have to understand that does play a part in how we walk out our lives. The things that you do, I mean, my wife and I will often say, we'll see something. What on earth would possess somebody to do that? But to that person, it's completely normal. You know what I mean? It's like you think, why would anybody ever do something like that? I know I'm not the only one. We're not the only ones that have been there. Amen. But what that is that's a personality trait. That's a bent that they have had somewhere. It's been put into their lives a certain way. You know, and we have to understand that doesn't make somebody right or wrong. Amen. But where our unity comes together is when we speak the words that God has given us to speak. And they will be in line, of course, always with the Word of God. This is kind of our pattern, if you will. It's our we can take this with us. This is why it's so important to know the Word of God. Because if we know the Word of God, then we can when we go to speak, we can start processing. Is that something that I should really be saying? I can't tell you how many times I've been in just simple conversation and the Lord has arrested me and said, don't say that. Don't go that way. Why? Because you'll lose somebody. Now, there's times in the pulpit even where I'll say things. There's been times where I've said things that have come out of just my natural bent. I'm not saying I believe that I don't make a habit of that as best I know. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying it never comes out, but I'm saying I believe it. But there's times where I've known it. And then there's times where I've said things, you know, that are really extremely bold and really toe-stepping on that you got to say, praise the Lord, and I know I was completely justified. Last week's message was one of those examples. I knew that I had to say those things, even though it was uncomfortable on my flesh and I didn't want to. But you know, the Lord also sobered me up with that. He also helped me with that because he showed me something. He showed me, what if there's somebody that sits in your service that disagrees with you in what you say? And this, what he was showing me was the importance of just this right here, speaking as the oracles of God. He said, what if they sit in your service and they disagree with your bent And you say something that drives them out and they leave their help. They don't get their help. And my heart started breaking for them. You know, and not just a certain person, but just the idea that it sank in me. And I was like, oh, I would never want to lose anybody from that. And so that's why we always approach things from the best that we can, from the place of love, from the place of the word. And if we speak boldly, we endeavor this. But the part of the reason why I bring this up is because the things that we say from this pulpit, it is important that you either accept that this is truth coming out of this pulpit, or you don't. And you have to determine that if you don't believe that what's coming out of this pulpit is the oracle, by and large, is the oracles of God, then you need to consider where you're at. You need to consider why you're sitting here. And the reason I say this is because of this. If you are sitting someplace that is not teaching as the oracles of God, your life will not get helped. But if you are, and you can't accept it because of your personal bent, your life will not get helped. You have to understand that God's method of speaking to people is through another man. And that man or woman will be imperfect. They won't be, you know, they might not be packaged the way that you want to see them. This is not a Pastor Jeff, a support Pastor Jeff commercial by any means. Praise the Lord, because this applies to any area of life. We all need a pastor. Glory to God. It is other than God and the Holy Spirit. It is one of the number one relationships that you will have in your life is having a relationship with your pastor. And what I mean is, doesn't mean that we're always going to hang out or stuff like that, but meaning that we have the right pastor-sheep relationship, amen, which you're receiving of right now, amen? Glory to God. The problem is so many people, and there's a lot of pastors out there that are not speaking as the oracles of God. God does not have anything. Do you know that God has nothing in his word that separates people and says, look to one and support them more than another? The Bible says, embrace everybody the same. The Bible says, embrace everybody as yourself. And so there's nobody that you reject or push away. Amen. And so any teaching otherwise is not God. Any teaching otherwise is a man bent. Amen. On something else. And so that's very important for the purpose of this message. We have to ask ourselves, what would God say? When we're looking at a situation, when we're making a decision, listen, and sometimes when, I'm just going to tell you the truth. Can I help you here? Praise the Lord. What God is going to direct you on isn't always going to agree with what you think. You have to be okay with that. I'm not just talking about when you're receiving it from a preacher. I'm talking about when you're praying, when you're seeking God for an answer, when you're looking at everything that's going on and you're like, God, where are you in this? He may give you an answer that you don't like, but you got to learn to be okay with that answer because it's not you that knows more than him, right? Praise the Lord. Well, I think we had turned to Ephesians, right? And if you're still there, we're going to stay in Ephesians, but we're just going to go down to chapter 6. And this is what we have to understand. You know, there's a lot in Christianity, there's a lot of questions about what's going on right now. There's a lot of questions about what's happening. And I'm about to tell you the truth, because I'm going to speak from the Word of God. What's going on in the world today? Now, regardless, and this is one of the great things about this message, regardless how you are bent politically, or regardless how you're bent socially, like, you don't have to, this isn't going to deal with any of that bending. All this is going to deal with is what's going on. You can look at what's going on and say, hey, it's not right. Is there anybody who could disagree with me? That we can look around us and say, something's off in the mix here, right? Praise the Lord, glory to God. This batter's a little bit lumpy. You know what I'm saying? We got to understand that. So why does it always go to food? Probably because I'm always hungry, amen? I'm wasting away to nothing up here as I'm preaching. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 6:12. You know what I feel like? I feel like I keep getting shorter and keep going. You know, I feel like I'm just like maybe it's all the weight and the pressure that's on me, you know, it's just pushing me down and making me bulge out. Because the bigger I get here, the shorter I don't know. Well, praise the Lord. And I think he keeps getting, you keep getting taller. I mean, I've only known you for one day, and you just, praise the Lord. I might have got shorter overnight. Praise God. Yeah. It's a good young man here. I like him. I like him a lot. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We normally don't call, like, point to, like, first-time, you know, visitors. But you already feel like family, so praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Ephesians 6:12. Yeah, he's going to be like, he's going to be going out there telling his friend, don't go to that church. Make sure that everybody knows who you are. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Should I go into it again? Praise the Lord. So you understand, I'm trying to get a point across here. This is one of the, this is a primary thing that we have to understand. Our fight is not of this world. Our fight is beyond this world. What we're fighting, what the problem is in the divisions that happen. And I'm not even talking about people that create divisions, because people will create divisions. Amen. It is up to us to not succumb to those divisions. It's up to us not to be party to those divisions. It's up to us to not to not promote those. We promote the Lord. You know, it's such an amazing thing. You know, of course, I found as a pastor, you know, one of the things that you always have to deal with is you always have to deal with what's happening in the world. That's just because in reality, what I'm dealing with as a pastor is I'm helping you, I'm helping you see things in your own life. That's what the job of a pastor does. And in doing so, I'm also helping myself see things in my own life. So it's not just that, you know, the gift of the pastor is far bigger than the person that it rests upon. Amen. And that's the grace of God. That's the help of the Lord. But we're always, you know, sometimes I'm like, man, I just don't want to deal with, I just wish I could deal with other things. I wish I could deal with, you know, somebody else's or some other time period or some other things. I wish I could reflect back to that. But I don't believe that a good pastor is really going to do that. I believe a good pastor is going to relate to people as they are in their lives, that they're going to reach them where they're at, and that they're going to help them try to see, understand what's going on. You see, we might think that how we think about things doesn't matter, but it does. Because how we think about things is going to affect how we affect the world. You understand, this is one thing I'm going to say again, whether, you know, regardless of how you feel one way or the other, but your help is not in the world and their help is not in the world. Your help is not in government one way or the other. Your help is not going to be, you know, God has done things when there's been evil people in office. He has done things when there's been good people in office. God just does things according to the, because we understand that he does things according to the will of the people. Amen. And because we are people that are going to be strong-willed, but strong-willed towards the things of God, we're going to see the blessing that we desire. Amen. But we have to understand that there are, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And so there are going to be things, there's going to be times where it's not comfortable. There'll be times where we'll be pressed on. There's going to be times where opposition comes to take us out. But we have to stand on the truth, and that is that God is with us. And if God is with us, then who can be against us? And if nobody can be against us, then we're doing all right. So even though there'll be opposition, and there'll be the opposite, listen, I'm just going to tell you, if you haven't learned it already, the opposition is not going to hurt you in an area, or it's not going to hit you in an area that you're already really good at conquering. You know what I mean? He's an idiot, but he's not totally stupid. You know what I mean? The devil knows where your weaknesses are. And so where do you think he's going to send the opposition? To where your strengths are? No. No, the Bible, even Jesus addressed this really. He said how you can't enter a strong man's house unless you first bind the strong man. The idea and the principle is that if somebody is strong, you're going to have to bind them. And so you have to bind them at a weakness. You look at the Old Testament story of Samson, praise the Lord. And Samson was an incredibly strong man, right? He had he killed all those people with the jawbone of a donkey. Praise the Lord. I wasn't going to say it. This ain't King James Church. This is a new King James Church. If you don't know what I'm talking about, well, ask your neighbor. They'll help you. Praise the Lord. But he killed him with all these people, and he was this real powerful. He had this weakness. And when Delilah discovered the weakness, right? I got the names right, right? Yeah. I'm just saying, there's a lot of different stories. There's Romeo and Juliet. There's Samson and Delilah. There's Pocahontas and John. Yeah. There's all kinds of names out there, but we want to get to the biblical story because that's the one that matters. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're not perfect. Amen. We're just doing the best we can. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But at any rate, Samson and Delilah, and she found his weakness, and it was the weakness that got him. They didn't go when they knew the weakness, and he played with her a little bit. He told her this and that, and they tried, and he still conquered and stuff. But so the devil's going after our weakness. He's going to go to the area that gets you the most. He's going to go to the area, and quite often, that gets you time and time again. Amen. But you have a choice in that. And listen, the spiritual answer is to deal with things in the spirit spiritually, and to deal with the things in the flesh, You know, like if you're hungry, you don't pray about it. You go eat. Unless you don't have food, then you pray about it, right? But there's nothing wrong with that if that's the case. But you can also use your faith and have things happen in the natural. But what I'm saying is that there's natural things we can do. Obviously, you can't say I'm under such spiritual oppression if you're doing things to cause problems in your life. It's not spiritual oppression. That's called you being stupid. Amen? And you don't want to be stupid, so you don't do those things. And that's what the Bible helps us not be stupid. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Amen? And so even those out there that are motivated, that are doing evil things, they're very rarely, I would say, probably doing them just because they want to. They're doing them because they are being influenced by something else. And so getting mad at them isn't going to change it. Yelling at them isn't going to change it. Things at them isn't going to change it. I am a fan of memes. It won't change it, but at least makes me feel better while we're doing it. Praise the Lord. But I think memes can be kind of harmless. Praise the Lord. They can be hurtful too, but I think I don't want to see any memes of me. So maybe they're not bad or maybe not good in general. But they're funny once in a while. We'll laugh at stuff like that. But we have to understand that that isn't really going to change something, right? I mean, somebody might post a meme or something like that, but that's not going to make change happen. You have to get into the spirit. The spirit realm is the place. That's where you're going to have to deal with things. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so let's go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to start down there in verse 1. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm excited. It's a good message. A good practical message. It'll help us. Amen. What's it say here? It says, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." I love that. Because that was what described our Lord. Paul was using that same method. And as Christians, this is the same way we should be. Meekness and gentleness. Amen? Now, listen, meekness and gentleness is not the same as weakness. That doesn't mean that you have to just lay down, but it means sometimes you do. the best thing that you can do is to know by the Holy Spirit what you got to do when you got to do it. Now, I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. This is a really, this is a really important thing. So many people think that, and I saw this as I was reading this, maybe for the first time. So many people think, well, that person there is preaching, and that's just them. That's just the way. I used to think that about my pastor. I used to think that as he was preaching, that I was just getting him. And so if he preached something I didn't like, I just passed it off as being, oh, that's just Pastor Tim. That's just his opinion. And that's what people do. See, as Christians, we need to be able to be spiritual enough to discern what's opinion and what's truth. And if it's backed up by the Word of God, it ain't opinion. It's truth. And so we have to understand that if we have to. Now, some of you may think that I'm speaking to one side of the aisle, but I'm telling you, I'm speaking to both sides of the aisle. And what I mean by both sides of the aisle is even those strong Christians that believe that they know the truth, we have to be careful with that. We have to be careful with just thinking that everything we think, every bent religiously that we think is the right way or the thing that's going on. Amen? I've caught myself in that so many times, and I'll give you a perfect example. Some of you may disagree with me, and you may not. But I'm just telling you right now, I know I was led in how I operated with this church during the pandemic. If you disagree with me, then you're not seeing things spiritually. You're seeing things from a political bent. Why did I do things the way that I did? I did things according to the way the Lord, the Spirit of God, led me, and I was the one that he placed in that place to lead that way. There's no other opinions on whether or not that's right or wrong. There are no other opinions. And if it happened again and that's the way we were led again, I would make the same decision to do the same things all over again. And if you don't like it, that still doesn't change the fact that it's spiritual, but it does show that you are not. We have to understand that just because, praise the Lord, I don't spend my life walking in the looking for every fleshly decision that I can make. Because my personal bent was to say, you know, some nasty words to the governor or anybody else and to just kind of, you know, throw my hands in the air and do what I wanted to do. But that's not that doesn't produce the righteousness of God. What produces the righteousness of God is following his Spirit. And we have to get to the place where we understand that when we follow his Spirit, we are following his Spirit, even if we're following his Spirit against things that we personally like or we personally think. One thing that I have learned, and I've said this over and over again, and I try to keep myself here, and I'll tell you, it's a full-time job as a Christian to keep yourself here. So if you are not spending most of your time trying to keep yourself from thinking wrong, then you're probably not being much of a Christian. Because everything you think ain't right. Everything you will think you know the answer, and then you don't. That's what God didn't come. He didn't send his Holy Spirit to lead us once. If he did, we wouldn't need any more Holy Spirit than what we got right here. The Holy Spirit came to lead us and guide us through life as we walk life out. But you know what I've found in life is that there's so often that there's opposition to the plan and the direction of God because somebody out in the seats doesn't think that, well, they just think that it's a flesh decision. They just think, well, you know what? You take things like, it would be very easy. And actually, as a pastor, those are attacks that the devil uses all the time. He throws at you like, I'm just going to tell you the truth. Everything that I have to promote that's good in your life can be twisted. And it is twisted by the devil. It will be twisted to make you think, the devil will twist it to make you think that I'm just asking for money. It'll twist you to make you think that I'm trying to build my own kingdom. It'll twist you to, if you don't think right. And see, there's a lot of people in the world that don't think right. This is why I said we have to determine, is the place that we're sitting a safe place? Are they preaching the word of God? Am I learning? Am I growing more of these things? You know, is there an effect? And the effect isn't always going to be, again, the effect isn't always going to be what you think. The effect doesn't mean that if I preach the word of God, if I preach prosperity to everybody in here automatically gets rich, because that's not the truth of the word of God either. Do you know, in fact, to be in the fullness of what God has for you, it takes an extreme dedication on your part. If you want to be full, I haven't entered the fullness of what God has for me. Praise the Lord. And if I know I haven't, I know that the people in the congregation haven't. Amen. And how can I say that? Because we know that the student is not greater than the teacher. We know that. And so anything that I walk into, and this is one of the things I'm talking about, I will walk into things before you will, but you should follow. Amen. And so life is blessed, your life will be blessed. If my life isn't blessed, but this, you know how this principle works? Look at all the churches around that don't preach the word of God. Look at all the churches around that succumb to natural circumstances. Or there are people lost. There are people who are hurt. They have no idea what to do. They're not getting any direction. And I'm not saying because they're choosing it. I'm saying they're getting no direction. They don't know. I mean, we have met with people that go to these kinds of churches, and they come out of them, and they don't even know what to do with themselves. They're like, I don't know the Bible. I don't know what this means. I start talking about the blessing of the Lord, and it's foreign to them. Why is it foreign to them? Because there isn't somebody preaching it. Why don't they walk in it? Because the person that's behind the pulpit isn't walking in it. Amen. And so we have to understand this, so we don't just walk in the flesh. We have to understand that there's a spiritual transaction going on here. And this is why how we come to church matters so much. Because if you come to church with the expectation that God is going to use me to speak through you, oh, I'm going to get some good here. You went, woo, hallelujah. Let me step on up into that soapbox. Let me get into some good. Praise the Lord. If you don't like what's being preached, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you prayed that what I would preach could come from the mouth of God? And if you have prayed it, which you probably haven't if you don't like it, but if you have prayed and you don't like it, do you believe that you pray will come to pass? And if you don't, you're not in faith. Because your job is to lift me up in the sense that I will speak to you as the very oracles of God. This is a See, church is a two-way street. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. I just got to... Where's my son back there, Caleb? Hallelujah! It's bird watching is a two-way activity. It goes both ways. Yeah. If you don't know what that is, you can ask me afterwards. It's real funny. Praise the Lord. But said that for my. It's a two-way street. It goes back and forth. When you bring the first supply that you bring is your supply of faith. You come to church saying, "Man, I love my sister Sue back here. Can I just point you out for a minute?" I mean, she's always proclaiming 65 Westlake Road, this and that, hallelujah, glory to God. And she throws it out there and she believes it. And you know what? She stirs me up. She comes and she releases something like this and it stirs me up and I get excited about it. And you know what else it does? It pumps me up because I'm like, yes, somebody gets it. And I know that there's more people that get it, but she's being vocal about it. She's stirring other people about it. This is the way we need to be. We need to come into 65 Westlake Road expecting Jesus is going to show up every single week and not because I'm Jesus, because I'm not Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But when we come together, when we believe together, when I've brought my part and you've brought your part, guess what comes out of this pulpit? Yeah, absolutely. The very oracles of God. And we have to know that. We have to believe that. Not because it's me. And see, this is one of those things that that somebody who is a critic could sit there and say, well, he's saying that he's the oracles of God, da, 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 da. That's not what I'm saying. And if you believe that, raise your hand so I can send Josh after. Praise the Lord. Because I can see Josh is getting mad already. Hallelujah. That's a joke. Praise the Lord. He's like, I'll go get him real good. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you understand it's a two-way street. It's something that we come in here. You want me to preach the very oracles of God. And so you don't get hung up about that because you're a good, strong, knowledgeable Christian. So what you pray for is that I preach the oracles of God. And if you prayed that and then you come and you sit in those seats and you got a smile on and all of a sudden I start preaching something that's real heavy. I start preaching something that real, man, it's really, whoo, ouch, ouch, Pastor Jeff, ouch, Pastor Jeff. You can't get mad about it because you prayed. And if you didn't pray, then you just get mad at yourself because it's your fault. I'm just telling you the truth. I am absolved of all wrongdoing in this pulpit. You either do your part or... But you understand what I'm saying. I mean, obviously, if I'm a jackwagon and I just, you know, sit around eating Cheetos all the time, watching YouTube, and I don't have... Wait a minute. Nah, I'm just kidding. I don't really do that, praise the Lord. But if that's all I do and I don't get in the Word and I don't study, I don't get before the Lord and say, Lord, what? What? What do we do? You know, if I'm not doing that stuff, obviously, I'm not doing my part either. But you know something? If you were in a church, which you're not, but if you were in a church that wasn't good, if you were in a church that didn't preach the word, if you were in a church that withheld the truth, if you were in a church where the pastor didn't know, but you knew that you were supposed to be there, you know what you're supposed to do? Pray. Because guess what? You know, you remember Pastor Ramos, he was here? Yeah. Praise the Lord, he was supposed to be here last year, and 2020 happened, and he stayed there, and we stayed here, glory to God, but he'll come back. But at any rate, he was here and we were talking with him. When we were with him, man, glory to God, we had three-hour lunches. That's the best kind of lunches to have with a man of God like that. Because you just, I mean, it was just, we're just sitting there. I mean, we were hungry. And I'm not talking about for food, but we were hungry. And he's just feeding us, you know. And so he's just telling us about this stuff. And we were talking about a certain minister that he didn't feel connected to. In fact, that he knew he wasn't supposed to follow. But because of his connections, there was times where he had to sit in some of his services. And I said, so Pastor Ramos, I said, how do you deal with that? He said, I pray for him. He said, I spend, when I know I'm going to be in his services, I'll spend weeks just praying for him, believing that God will use him to speak to me. And you know what he does? He always does. See, because faith... This is what being a faithful, a real spiritual person is. It's not looking at the situation and saying, I don't like it, it's not right, so I'm just going to complain and get mad. That's all of our natural tendencies. But it's looking at a situation and saying, okay, this isn't right. I can change this. I have something to say here. Praise the Lord. I have something to add to this mix, and I'm going to add it. And then I'm going to trust God. Do you know how many times the Lord reminds me as a pastor? You know, because natural things come up all the time, right? Natural things, one of the natural things was that week when I was walking in here and I stumbled on the lump that was here and no longer is, praise the Lord. I stumbled on the lump and I said, and I've been dealing with this lump for years, I cannot tell you how much peace that bump robbed from my spirit. It did, because I kept seeing it and I kept seeing it, and this is just an obstacle. I'm like, Lord, why isn't this getting fixed? And why isn't this getting fixed? And then finally, he finally speaks to me about it. And he says, if you don't like it, do something about it. Praise the Lord. Revelation to me, you mean I can use faith? I can trust you to take care of things that I can't take care of myself? You mean I can believe you for the... Like, this is how I'm going. I'm looking at me going, duh. Well, of course, I'm a faith preacher. I stand in a faith church and I have a lump in the floor. It isn't even a mountain. Jesus said, look at the mountain, speak to it, and if you believe it, that mountain will move. I'm looking at a stinking lump in the floor and wondering why that lump just keeps being there. I tried to pray it down, you know. Angels, stand on it. Keep that lump leveled out. Praise it. There used to be a lump in the floor, by the way. I said, you know, I would even say, that's not faith. Faith is not looking at it and say, cover up the problem. Faith is saying, take care of the problem. Sometimes faith will cause you to step out into things that you're uncomfortable with, that you can't do. But you know what I did? I had to step out then. I said, well, praise God, now I got the faith to do it. But you know what? That isn't a pat on the back for me, because I missed it for 4 years. I missed it. That lump came almost immediately, the first year. And you know what the truth of the matter is? I could go into farther about that. But if I had realized, and sometimes the realization takes some time. If I had realized the things I realize now, then that lump would have never been there. It would have never been there in the first place. But see, God had to take me through a process. Sometimes the process, all I'm going to say is going to be real good. And if you're not spiritual, you won't receive this. You'll get mad at me. But here's the truth of it. Sometimes the process will cost you something. Sometimes the process of learning is going to be expensive. But you know what God doesn't care about? He doesn't care about that. If you got the principle, if you've learned something, if something's gotten put into you, he doesn't care what it costs. So stop worrying about $5, $10 here and there. Stop worrying about this or that. See, that's what Christians do. They get tripped up on little things here or there. Oh, pastor, take up an offering for this or that. Who cares? If I'm called to the church, who cares? God will supply it. Do you realize that God wants support? The way that he's going to do it is he, you remember how God says you got to walk in faith? That faith steps out first? Remember, faith carried Peter out of the boat before Peter sank, right? But he walked on when he had to step out in faith. Faith has actions. And so faith is, if you want to grow anywhere in your faith, you need to step out somewhere. You can't just sit there thinking about it. You got to step out into it. You got to do something you haven't done before. You got to do something that you don't believe you can. Because when you know that it's got, and listen, it's real easy. See, that's the thing about, the wonderful thing about the church. The devil's twisted it. But the church has made it easy for people to walk in faith. You know why? Because God gives us faith projects. Here, start a church in Corey, Pennsylvania. Faith project. That isn't my project. Aren't we called together? That's all of our project. Doesn't mean that y'all have to be down there. Doesn't mean that y'all have to go labor down there. None of those things. But it doesn't mean that you're separate from it. But I'm going to tell you the truth. If I took a poll in this church and said, how many people in this church really feel connected to Corey, Pennsylvania, to that church? Probably most of you think, well, that's just the other deal. That's just. But praise the Lord. We got some fruit right here. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what the Lord showed me about them? Showed me that they were seeds. And there's others to it, you know, but they're seeds. Well, what do you do with a seed? You tend to it. You love on it. You let it grow. You give it sunlight. You give it soil. We're going to soil you guys. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to nurture you. We're going to love on you. We're going to do our part. You're going to cause it to grow. You know what the Lord showed me about Corey, Pennsylvania? It's a mission field. If I said we're going to do some mission in Africa, man, you'd have people lining up to man, can I go and help? Can I give money to it? Corey, Pennsylvania is a mission field, no less. Praise the Lord. And it's only 45 minutes away. But see, this is what I'm talking about. Like, God gives us faith projects together. And some people sit there and say, oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, there's another one. Do you realize that every faith project is not just meant to help somebody else, but it's meant to grow you? So if God gives us a faith project, we're going to do, and we did it good, right? We got it done. We got it done quickly. But think about this. This group of people came together, and I believe that there was inspiration. I believe there was excitement. But I'll tell you what, we came together. We even labored for it, didn't we? We all kind of threw in our hand, and we all got part of it. And we got this floor taking. You know what the Lord's showing us by this? If we can take care of this so quickly, what else could stop us? What else could keep us from? If we just come together and say, you know what? Praise the Lord. We're just going to do this. What needs to be, listen, it's the attitude, it's the decision in our heart. Praise God. I didn't even think, but there goes the time and the message. Praise the Lord. I didn't even get into the good stuff. Let me get into some of the good stuff. Praise God. Praise the Lord. One accord. That's right, sister. Man, I need to say this. Okay, verse 3. Let me read these real quick. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. So in other words, what it's saying is that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not of our flesh, but they're mighty in God. And then he goes on to tells us to basically reject everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of Christ. That's the point that it's saying. So when we know those scriptures, we've been in them. But the weapons of our warfare are mighty. So what he's given us is mighty. If it's mighty, it means it can. Mighty means can. Mighty means win. Praise the Lord. Anyone remember Mighty Mouse? Mighty Mouse didn't lose. Why? Not because he was a mouse, because he was mighty. Right? So if the weapons of our warfare are mighty, praise God, if we use them, they win. We win. Hallelujah. And of course, we know Romans 12:2. I'm not going to get into that today because I only have 5 minutes left, but you remember it, right? That we don't be conformed, but transformed, right? That's good for us to know, right? Okay, praise the Lord. I'm not just skipping through scripture, you understand, because this is the Holy Ghost. He's helping us, praise the Lord. But now we're going to get to that place, Matthew 26:48. I love this. Praise God, hallelujah. Love the word of God. See, this isn't a message that has to go into a second week. I know that, so that's why we're taking care of it here. Matthew 26, verse 48. Praise God. Matthew 26, 48. Now, of course, this is when Jesus is being portrayed, or betrayed, not portrayed, betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. As Reverend Greer likes to say, get some money. Hallelujah, the Garden of Get Some Money. Verse 48. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Betrayed him with a kiss. Man. But look how Jesus responds to him. Friend, why have you come? I just love that, man. It'll melt your heart right there. Even then he loved him. He knew what he was doing. He knew what was happening. But even in that moment, he loved him. Called him friend. Glory to God. He wasn't his friend. And he wasn't being sarcastic there. He was loving on him. Praise the Lord. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. Now we know in another account that Jesus picked the ear back, or he healed the ear. Praise the Lord. I don't know if he picked it up, put it back on. I don't know how he did it. But he healed it. Amen. It wasn't like licking stick. I don't know how he did it, but he healed it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we also know, if you study scripture, you also know that Jesus had told them to bring swords. So it wasn't that Jesus was rebuking him for bringing a sword, that he was wrong for having a sword, but he had brought a sword. They brought swords because he said, but now they used them. He didn't tell them to use them. Amen. And said, Then he said, and suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? And then this is the important part. How else could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? And so what Jesus was saying, he was not rebuking him for having a sword for protection, but what he was rebuking him for is not being spiritual enough to know what was going on. Jesus had been talking about this moment with his disciples over and over and over. He said, I have to do these things. I have to go away. I have to be martyred. This is part of the process. And if that, I believe it was Peter, was spiritual enough at that moment, would have known that even though this moment didn't look good, it was still God. See, that's what we have to understand, folks, is we have to be spiritual enough to understand that sometimes things aren't going to look good. For the next many hours, days, it looked bad. I mean, when Jesus came back and found his disciples, they went back to their old life. They weren't out preaching the gospel. Well, they had given up all hope. They just went back to what they were. Now our Lord's gone and all this happened. I mean, it was undoubtedly the worst time of their lives. And that's how they were facing. But Jesus said, see, this is what you have to understand about God. And this is essentially what he was saying here. If I called God right now, he would send legions of angels and I'd be taken care of. But sometimes people have to go through the uncomfortable places because of what is on the other side. Sometimes you've got to be tried. Because what's on the other side is life to many. If Jesus had not taken that step and gone to that cross, Jesus at any point could have called angels to come down from heaven and rescued him off that. He never had to go to that cross. But he knew that if he did so, there was something on the other side that would never get paid for. He knew that your redemption would never be paid for. The Holy Spirit would never come to you. He would never live in you. You would never know the leading and the guiding of the Lord from the inside out. You would never have the guarantee of salvation. You would never have the guarantee of the power of God. You would never have been redeemed. And Jesus knew that. Folks, if the pressure is on, look to the Lord. Don't look at the things that cause the pressure and start saying, look to the Lord. Say, Lord, is this the direction that you got me going? And if it is, then you hold strong. You hold the course. You don't give up. There's too many Christians that are so willing to give up when something bad happens because they don't realize that there's blessing on the other side. And that blessing often isn't just for them. I mean, of course it blessed Christ when he could see millions and millions of people come into the body of Christ. Billions of people, in fact. Of course, that was a blessing to him. But what was more of a blessing is what it did in your life. It, praise God. You know, it's just like I said last week, abortion doesn't affect you, it affects the babies. It's the same thing with the blessing. Blessing of God affects all those that it's meant for. And if we just crumble under every given pressure, every little pressure, because we don't like how uncomfortable it is, we're unspiritual. We can't see that God wants to do something here. Now listen. When we look at our lives, when we look at all that's going on, yes, there are things, there's opposition, and we've got to stand up against opposition, and there are things that we got to stand for. I'm telling you the truth, there are. But that doesn't mean that we reject all the principles of God. When we know that we're with God, when we know that we're right with God, then we're going forth with God, and there ain't nothing that the devil can do to stop us. There is nothing that he can put in our way that we can't climb over. There is no mountain the devil can present before you that isn't movable, because Jesus said, basically, just go. Move the mountain. Just stand. Just keep going. The mountain will present itself. The devil will sit there. He will give you every reason. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee. Christians don't resist the devil. You know why they don't? Because as soon as they start getting the pressure, they start crumbling. They start crying. They start feeling it. Instead of standing up and just saying, you know what? Do you know who my God is? Legions of angels. That's my God. Praise the Lord. So don't fret, folks. Don't sit there and worry about what it looks like ahead. Whatever it looks like ahead. The government isn't your answer. Your neighbor's not your answer. Your spouse isn't your answer. The answer is found in him. So as long as we embrace him and we embrace his way and we say, you know what? We're going to get the oracle of God. We're going to get the very leading of the Lord and the direction. And then believe it once you get it. And then walk in it. You watch and see how your life changes. There will be opposition in your life. Who cares? What is opposition when you have God? It's God. What is the opposition? There'll be things. Yeah, sometimes it will look like he wins. Who cares? He ain't. He's not gonna. Even if he took a little ground, praise the Lord. We're gonna walk it. We're gonna walk. We're gonna get right back into it. Because you know one thing about our God that I've seen? No matter how evil Israel was, no matter how bad they did, and they did bad. They did bad. Just as bad as America is doing right now. Praise the Lord. But no matter how bad they were, God always had a plan of redemption. You know what that means? That God still has a plan of redemption. He has a plan of redemption for this country. He has a plan of redemption for his Christians. He has a plan of redemption for his people. Glory to God. And we're going to be redeemed. Praise the Lord. So no matter what's happening, no matter what's raising up in life, let's have faith. That, I don't care how small it is. It doesn't have to be. I'm not even talking about in the scale of the United States. I'm talking about your own backyard. What are you going to wake up Monday morning to? You're going to wake up tomorrow. Guarantee it. I don't see anybody in here who's going to die tomorrow. Praise the Lord. I pretty much give you the guarantee. And I'll just tell you this. If somebody dies tomorrow, we'll just say that Pastor Jeff missed it. That's a joke. Praise the Lord. We're all going to wake up tomorrow. We're going to all wake up into something. There's going to be something we're going to look at, something we're back to because it's the week. Praise the Lord. I keep going with this if you want, but I mean just... Goodness of God, praise the Lord. Let's hold to that. Praise God. To his promises, amen?